Good evening and welcome to 7x70. This is Ranch Wrangler Richard coming to you live from the Radio Ranch this first Thursday in March, 3-3-2016, March 3rd, 2016. And I welcome you and I say thanks for joining us. If maybe there's one or two out there tuned in, who knows? But doesn't matter. Going to read the scriptures a little bit tonight, and I have a question for you. God talks about his covenant of peace. Who wants that? Do you want God's covenant of peace? It's from God. It's everlasting. Peace. Peace, I tell you. P-E-A-C-E. Peace. God's covenant of peace. Who wants that? I think that's what we're going to talk about tonight. Kind of came to me today. And I've got a couple scriptures that talk about that. And so I think that's what we'll talk about a little bit. We'll have the phone lines open about halfway through the program. I think I've got enough to get us at least till there in talking about this. So, but think about that. Do you want God's covenant of peace? We're going to use a few scripture verses to take a look at that. Let's go to our Heavenly Father in prayer first. Oh, Heavenly Father, thank you, Lord, that you are an everlasting God, that your covenants last forever, that, Lord, the ordinance that you put in, they last forever, Lord, because you do not change. You are the same today on March 3rd, 2016, as you were back there in Genesis 1:1 in the beginning. You are the same as you were there in Matthew 1:1, Lord. And you are the same as it will be at the end of Revelation. You, God, do not change, and we thank you for that, that you keep your word, that you are faithful. We thank you for that, Lord. Thank you for your Son, Jesus Christ, who came out of that heavenly abode to save a wretch like me. Thank you, Lord. Thank you for calling me, for calling your remnant out of this darkness. Why us, Lord? I don't know. Because your word says you call the weak and the foolish. That's the only answer I have. But I thank you for calling, Lord, and thank you for softening our heart and opening our ears to hear your call. Lord, here we are, your servants. Use us, send us, do with us as you will, O Lord. Here we are to do thy bidding. Lord, tonight you have it for us to speak to your people, to read your word, Lord, out to them so that their faith would be increased. So help us to do that, Lord. Help me to do that, Lord, to let this broadcast go out strong and true in the reading of your word, that, Lord, that it blesses your remnant and that it blesses you. Lord, let this prayer be a pleasing aroma to you, a pleasant thing to you, O Lord. We thank you. I thank you for the opportunity to be here. Guide and direct my thoughts and my words. Lord, I thank you for our pastor who worked so hard, who built, Lord, this ministry with your help. And on you is the foundation, Lord, on the rock of Jesus Christ. That is the foundation that he built upon, and, Lord, that we strive to continue to build upon. Help us to do so, Lord, to your glory. We know that that house built on that foundation of solid rock, that rock of Jesus Christ, that it will stand no matter what. We pray all this to your glory, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen. And amen. And so I ask you, as I did before, well, lots going on. A couple things first. We'll go through a couple of, just a couple of current events. Hopefully you're reading your Bible. If you do, you're in Numbers 26 through 28 and Mark 8 today. We have the March Bible reading plan. It's up on the website, scriptures4america.org. You may say, oh, golly, here he is telling us to read the Bible again. That's right. That's right. And you can't read enough of it. Don't want you to sit down and read three or four whole five, six, eight chapters. Don't try to read the whole book. No, just a little bit at a time. Okay? It's like water. You know, you try to drink a whole pond or ocean, it's a little too much for you at one time. But a little bit here and maybe tomorrow a little more, hey, that's good for you. You need that. How much more this water that Jesus Christ offers, the Word, Christ Himself. You need to have a little bit of that every day. Read it, think about it, apply it to your life. You know, if you don't want to follow our Bible reading plan, fine. Just open the Bible up and read a little bit. Okay? It'll draw you closer to Him. This is, remember in the Lord's Prayer, give us this day our daily bread. He's not just talking about food, physical food. Okay? That bread of life, you need it daily. If you pray the Lord's Prayer, well, pray it and then put it into practice. You ask for it, you ask for the daily bread, make time to read that daily bread. That's up to you. You know, we can lead the horse to water. We can lead the sheep to water, put the water out, clean out the water trough, fill it up with nice, cool, fresh spring water, non-treated, non-chlorinated, good water to drink. We can open the gates and do the corralling and bring the sheep right up to the water trough. And you know that saying, you can lead a horse to water, but you can't make him drink. That's true. I one of the first, about our second or third year out here, we got to go elk hunting up on the mountain. And I was the new guy with the group, and we went up, and by the time we got up to the top of the mountain, it was about a four-hour horse ride. The horses were hot and thirsty. I was hot and thirsty. Being the new guy, I got to take the horses over to the little creek, thinking for sure they want a big drink of water, and I'd let them over there. They didn't want a drink. And that thought occurred to me, hey, that's real. You can lead a horse to water, but you can't make him drink. Well, it's that way with the sheep as well. You know, we are the sheep of His pasture. But sheep, here it is. Here's a trough, a cool, clear water. The Word, the living water, the living Word, the living water it is as well. Whether you decide to drink or not, to partake, to read, well, that's up to you. But here it is. We're going to read a little bit tonight. We also, before we get to Scripture, wanted to let you know, Volume 1 of the Dragon Slayer newsletter is already out. We're on Volume 2, and it looks like it might mail out tomorrow. If you heard us last night, Jason and Luke, visiting out from Illinois, been working hard on printing the newsletter. And I was down there today. It looks like most of it's about done, so hopefully it'll get done and get mailed out tomorrow, and that's Volume 2. Of the Dragon Slayer. It's entitled Protocols, Part 1. And Jason's put together a great article on the Protocols of Zion. We encourage you to take a look at that. And I'll just go down we're not going to read it tonight, but I just want you to so you know what's in this one. Of course, we have a great several-page article from the Ramrod. And so I know you're going to enjoy that. We have a couple pages on some truths on healing. And it's some quotes from the book, Christ the Healer. And we certainly have seen healing now. It's needed now. And we hope this article will help lead you in that direction. I have another article here called Answering the Call. It's a call to a solemn assembly. And so we put that out there. We are calling for a solemn assembly. And this Volume 2 Dragon Slayer newsletter article, we'll give you the details on that. Of course, we have, as we said, the article on the Protocols of Zion. We also have that book offered for sale there. We have a very interesting letter from a brother in here. And, of course, the order form and our shortwave, complete broadcasting shortwave schedule is in here. And the shortwave radio that we offer. And so I think it's a success. I think this Dragon Slayer's a good one. It's got great information in it, full of scriptures. If you'd like that, we'd be glad to send it to you. We don't charge for the newsletter. It sure cost us, but we don't charge for it. If you would like that Dragon Slayer newsletter, Volume 2, 2016, write to us and request it. Our address is Scriptures for America, P.O. Box 766, La Porte, Colorado. 80535. And you may say, what was that call for a solemn assembly? Well, if you saw John Sunday in the pulpit, and we talked about it last night on the Wednesday night prayer meeting, we are calling for prayers and fasting. And it's to those of you that have a heart for the Lord, we're requesting that today you begin to pray and fast for this year's Branson's solemn assembly. And that will be June I think it's 10, 11, and 12. It's the second full weekend in June. And we're calling for all the remnant to come in agreement, praying and fasting daily until March 10th, until June 10th for that solemn assembly. And you can sign up for a day or two if you want. We do ask you either to give us a call or email us. Let us know if you'll join us in participating in this. Doesn't mean you have to fast for 100 days between now and then. You can fast for a meal. Maybe an afternoon. Maybe you can fast for a day. Maybe you'll take Mondays for a month or Tuesdays. We've had brothers that have taken Wednesdays for the month or Tuesdays and Thursdays. It may be just for a day, for a meal. But we're asking. We're calling for prayer and fasting. And so, and it doesn't have to be hours of prayer, but sincere prayer for this gathering to prepare our hearts, the hearts of all who are coming, the hearts of all the remnant. And so we ask you to do that. If you want to sign up, give us a call. Our office number during the week is 307-742-7582. That's 307-742-7582. And that's the number to call during the week. And let us know. We'll get you on the calendar. Or you can send us an email. Our email address is preacher@sfaw.org. That's preacher@sfaw.org. And let us know if you will pray and fast with us. We hope you'll do that. Well, that's our newsletter. That's kind of what we've got going on here. Let's go to some scripture. You know, when we read scripture, we agree there's certain scriptures maybe that stand out that might be, oh, we might call them a little more important than others. We are to use all of the scripture, right? It's all for our healing. You know, when we, Matthew, let me turn over here, something comes to mind. Matthew 18, we talk about forgiveness, and that's kind of where the sounding text for this program is 7 times 70, and it comes from Matthew 18:21, when Peter's talking about with Jesus, how often should I forgive my brother? Okay? And, you know, we have certain ones, there are certain scriptures people remember, you know, John 3:16, for God so loved the world, that he gave his only begotten Son, and certainly truthful scriptures. The Great Commission that we find in Mark 16, right over here. We'll turn over there, Mark 16, starting in 15. And he said to them, go into all the world and preach the gospel to all creation. He who has believed and has been baptized shall be saved, but he who has disbelieved shall be condemned. Every scripture. And so I just say that to kind of lead in, and I asked you at the beginning, who wants God's covenant of peace? I would say I do. You know, God's covenant is forever. And he has made several covenants with his people. It's as simple as that. And so, if you have your Bibles, Isaiah 54 talks about Zion, his people. Of course, it's after his people are, you know, they're in captivity. It's a mess of a time. And we know that these Old Testament scriptures are pointing to Christ. They are leading us. They are like the law, which was our tutor to bring us to Christ. And so, talking about this covenant of peace, let's look here, Isaiah 54. And 54, and we'll read verse 10 here. We may bounce around a little bit, but Isaiah 54:10, and he says, for the mountains may be removed, and the hills may shake, but my loving kindness will not be removed from you, and my covenant of peace will not be shaken, says the Lord who has compassion on you. Now there it talks about that covenant of peace. What is that covenant of peace? Let's look over another reference is Ezekiel 34. We've kind of talked about Ezekiel a little bit. A lot going on there, a little bit further in the Old Testament. Let's flip over there, Ezekiel 34, and a couple of references here. And let's start. I want to go to, we want to work up to verse 25, but let's start in verse 20. Okay? And this is a prophecy, of course. Ezekiel 34 will start in verse 20. Therefore, thus says the Lord God to them, Behold, I, even I, will judge between the fat sheep and the lean sheep. You got to read a little earlier to understand who those are. Because you push with side and with shoulder and thrust at all the weak with your horns until you have scattered them abroad. Therefore, I will deliver my flock, and they will no longer be a prey. And I will judge between one sheep and another. Then I will set over them one shepherd, my servant David, and he will feed them. He will feed them himself and be their shepherd. And I, the Lord, will be their God, and my servant David will be prince among them. I, the Lord, have spoken. I will make a covenant of peace with them and eliminate harmful beasts from the land, so that they may live securely in the wilderness and sleep in the woods. I will make them and the places around my hill a blessing, and I will cause showers to come down in their season. They will be showers of blessing. And so here again, he's talking about he will make this covenant of peace with his people. With his people. When? Let's bounce a little up. Just one more, a couple more verses here in Ezekiel. We're going to go over to Ezekiel 37. Now this is the vision of the valley of dry bones. Not going to talk about those bones, but a couple verses here, Ezekiel 37, talking about this covenant of peace. And starting in verse 24, my servant David will be king over them. And of course, he's talking about David has been dead and gone by now. But this is a reference, of course, to Christ, the King of Kings, that will come from that line of David. That is to come in this time in Ezekiel, we're reading, of course, in the future. But now it's here. Now it's here, and it is still here. That Christ kingdom, that kingdom of David. Verse 24 in Ezekiel 37. My servant David will be king over them, and they will all have one shepherd. And they will walk in my ordinances and keep my statutes and observe them. They will live on the land that I gave to Jacob, my servant, in which your fathers lived, and they will live on it, they and their sons' sons forever. David, my servant, will be their prince forever. I will make a covenant of peace with them. It will be an everlasting covenant with them, and I will place them and multiply them, and will set my sanctuary in their midst forever. My dwelling place also will be with them, and I will be their God, and they will be my people. And the nations will know that I am the Lord who sanctifies Israel when my sanctuary is in their midst forever. And so this covenant of peace for God's people, when? Well, it's an everlasting covenant. It's when we return to Him. It is when, well, when we are in obedience to Him. There's several other references. I want to go back to the first reference of it, and it's in our Bible reading plan for, well, for today, actually. For yesterday's. And it's back in Numbers 25. And Numbers 25 starts out, this is still the beginning of the story. It's why it's so important to read it so we understand it, because it... Here in Numbers 25, it talks about here the children are wandering in the wilderness, and sin is going to be in the camp here. Let's read about it, because it's one of the ways that sin is still in the camp today. It's one of the ways that his people still sin, and it's the sin of Peor. Let's read Numbers 25. While Israel remained at Shittim, the people began to play the harlot with the daughters of Moab, for they invited the people to the sacrifices of their gods. And the people ate and bowed down to their gods. And if you have a highlighter or a pen, hopefully you have your Bible open to Numbers 25. And so I want you to highlight their gods. And the people ate and bowed down to their gods. And so understand, at that time, there was a they and an us, just like today. And God had warned his people not to do this. Don't go mix with those people. Let's read on. Verse 3. So Israel joined themselves to Baal of Peor, and the Lord was angry against Israel. The Lord said to Moses, "Take all the leaders of the people and execute them in broad daylight before the Lord, so that the fierce anger of the Lord may turn away from Israel." Does that sound like our loving Savior? Does that sound like our God that does not change? That maybe He was like that then, but oh, with Jesus today, He's not like that. Does God change? We read on, verse 5. So Moses said to the judges of Israel, "Each of you slay his men who have joined themselves to Baal of Peor." Or Baal Peor, that's what it was. Baal, the false gods, the gods of other peoples. They may be fine for those peoples. God will put up with it for a while, but He doesn't put up with it when His people go to that. Okay? Well, yeah, Richard, what's that got to do with the covenant of peace? Well, stay with me. We're going to keep reading. This is why it's so important to read your Bible, to read these Old Testament scriptures. Okay? Because we do have that covenant of peace today in Christ Jesus. When we abide in Him. He tells us, "Take my yoke upon you. My yoke is easy." He says, "Peace I leave with you." How can we have peace? How can we have joy in this time of upheaval? We look at the mess in Washington, D.C. We look at the mess that the election is. Oh, it's Super Tuesday. There's speeches going on tonight. Romney's in it. It's Trump. It's Romney. Rubio's here. Cruz. Hey, Clinton. Who gives a rat's? It's a mess. How are we to have a covenant of peace in that? Well, in the world, you're not. You're not. But with Him, that covenant of peace that is spoken of throughout this Old Testament, that is fulfilled in Christ, well, we have it in Him. Let's go back to Numbers 25. We're still reading. Numbers 25, verse 6. "Then behold, one of the sons of Israel came and brought to his relatives a Midianite woman in the sight of Moses and in the sight of all the congregation of the sons of Israel while they were weeping at the doorway at the tent of meeting." And so at the doorway of the tent of meeting, this is as far as the remnant could go at that time. If they weren't of the Levites, they couldn't go on in, but they could go to the door. And that's where they were weeping. They were crying out to God, lamenting, "Oh God, forgive us. Oh God, change these people's hearts. Oh God, the sin is great in the land." Sound familiar? It should. They had that mark of Christ on them, right there. Right there. We've talked about that before. So many people are worried about the mark of the beast. Well, the world can have the mark of the beast. I want the mark of Christ, and this is the mark of Christ right here. That sighing and groaning out and crying out at the abominations in the land. Verse 7. "When Phinehas, the son of Eleazar, the son of Aaron the priest, saw it, he arose from the midst of the congregation and took a spear in his hand. And he went after the man of Israel into the tent and pierced both of them through, the man of Israel and the woman, through the body. He killed them." So the plague on the sons of Israel was checked. Those who died by the plague were 24,000. And you may think today, "Oh my God, how could he have done that? Why didn't he just go and preach Jesus to him?" He preached Jesus to him. When he rammed that spear through that Israelite who had whored himself with that Midianite woman when God Almighty had said not to do it. Verse 10. "Then the Lord spoke to Moses, saying, Phinehas, the son of Eleazar, the son of Aaron the priest, has turned away my wrath from the sons of Israel, in that he was jealous with my jealousy among them, so that I did not destroy the sons of Israel in my jealousy. Therefore say, Behold, I give him my covenant of peace, and it shall be for him and his descendants after him a covenant of a perpetual priesthood, because he was jealous for his God and made atonement for the sons of Israel. Now, you don't hear this preached, I don't think, at the Judeo-Christian churches today. See, sin is sin. It always has been. It always will be. This was sin. This was against the God of Israel. This, what these people were doing by mixing with these Midianites. And you know, I sure didn't plan on bringing this tonight. It's just, it's what has come to mind. If we want God's covenant of peace, we have to be obedient. Today, if we want the disobedience of those that are disobedient, if we want that punished, well, no, we're not to take the spear in our hand today. I don't believe we are. But we are to be as Phinehas. We are to be jealous for God, jealous for his word, jealous for his law, as Phinehas was. We are to get our obedience and to make our obedience complete. And when we do that, the Spirit of God will move upon his people like it did on Phinehas, the grandson of Aaron. And the plague will be stayed. Don't have time tonight to go into all the story of Phinehas. That's a big part of it there in the Bible. We carry a book by Mr. Richard Kelly Hoskins that he wrote years and years ago called Vigilantes, Vigilantes of Christendom, the story of the Phinehas priesthood. And I encourage you to get it. We have it available. I think it's $24. That includes shipping. And it goes through the story of the Phinehas priesthood in the Bible, scripture by scripture by scripture. It likens in the story where it talks about it in the book of Jasher, and it breaks it up. And so I encourage you, if you don't have this, you should have all of Mr. Hoskins' books. The Wolf and the Sheep, In the Beginning, Our Nordic Race, Vigilantes of Christ. We carry all of them. You should have all of them. And if you don't, well, we occasionally make a deal, a special with all of them, but we have them all available. We have them in stock. I encourage you to get them. Tonight, I encourage you to order this Vigilantes if you don't have it. One part in it, and I want to read here from, and it starts on page 49 of the book, The Phinehas, Vigilantes of Christendom, the story of the Phinehas priesthood. And it was a type of, this story was a type of inspiration, you might say, for our newsletter, the Dragon Slayer newsletter. You know, for years, this ministry has put out a newsletter, but it was about, oh, I'd have to look, it was 12, going on 13 years ago, that we changed the format of the newsletter a little bit. It had been a big one, a small one, different things, but, and we gave it a name, the Dragon Slayer. And part of it comes from the story of St. George and the dragon. And I want to share that with you tonight, because this, and understand, this is part of God's covenant of peace. It's not what you're going to hear from the Antichrist Judeo-Christian churches out there, but it's Bible truth. Okay? It's Bible truth. And we'll open the phone lines. We're, my goodness, 36 minutes after the hour. We're here tonight, 307-745-5913. If you want to call in, I want to read you the story of St. George and the Dragon from Mr. Richard Kelly Hoskins' book, Vigilantes of Christendom. The story of St. George is old. According to ancient manuscripts, he was a Christian knight born in the province of Libya, in the city of either Lydia or Daspalus, with one of those two places being his final resting place. Other manuscripts say that he was born in Cappadocia, and that comes from the book from 1962, The Lives of the Saints. One day, St. George was out riding and came upon a marshy swamp. In the swamp lived a dragon whose evil influence had spread over the countryside. The people of the countryside had gathered together to fight it, but the breath of the dragon was so bad that they were forced to flee. The dragon required 2 sheep each day for its meal. In time, the sheep were gone and a human had to be substituted. The victim was chosen by lot, and it was the king's own daughter to whom the lot fell at the latest choosing. There was no one willing to take her place, and the maiden dressed to meet her doom. Saint George arrived in the nick of time and pierced the dragon with his lance, thereby saving the young maiden. Then he took the maiden's scarf, tied it around the dragon's neck, and the dragon followed the princess back to the city. The people were in mortal fear and threatened to leave the city. Saint George told them that if only they would believe in Jesus Christ and be baptized, he would slay the dragon. Then 15,000 men and women and children were baptized. St. George was honored and offered great treasures, but he told the king to give the treasure to the poor. This was the period under emperors Diocletian and Maximian. A great persecution began against the Christians. St. George saw that many feared and became apostates. He went into the city square and proclaimed that all the gods of the Gentiles were devils, and that my God made the heavens and is very God. Dantianus, the provost, had him arrested. Unable to make him deny his story, Dantianus had him tortured with hot irons and by being crushed between 2 spike wheels, all with no result. Well, you read the rest of it. St. George was martyred. But St. George was a type. He never recanted God. He did what was pleasing to God. He never recanted his Christianity. Okay? And so, I encourage you, and Mr. Hoskins goes on through and explains out the story of St. George, the meaning of it. I encourage you to what a great story it is. He talks in here of Beowulf and of Robin Hood, and these, you know, these stories that are all but lost or just horribly done over by Hollywood. You know, there's more to the story of Robin Hood than watching it on the big screen. And so, as there is more to the story of Phineas than what little bit we've read here in Numbers 25. And again, as I've said before, these stories in the Old Testament, these things that we read of there, they are not just symbolic, but they do. They point us to Christ. And this story of Phineas and being jealous for God, are we jealous for God today? Are we jealous with his jealousy? You know, that's one of the names of God. Did you know that? You look it up. You do a word search on the word jealous. See if you can find it. You find it, send me a note. If you find it and write or call in to us, I'll send you a Vigilante's book. You write in and tell me where. That's one of the names of God. We know God is a loving God. He's a God of wrath. He's a God of vengeance. He is a God of love. He loved us so much, he sent his only son to die for us. But he also says that one of his names is jealous. And by God, when Phineas here stayed the plague, when he said, that's all I'm going to put up with. That's all God's going to put up with. The Holy Spirit moved upon him and he was blessed with the covenant of peace because of it. You know, that kind of goes against the grain today. It does. It does. We also have a CD here. Going to play. Got to take a minute. I got to get a drink of water here. But this is we're talking here about Mr. Hoskins' books, Vigilantes of Christendom. Got a song here. It's called Look Away. And it's on one of our song books, Circuit Riding Preacher. If you'd like just this song, I'd be glad to send it to you. We've got it on a CD. I can make some copies, send it to you. If you'd like, maybe you haven't heard it. Introduction here by Mr. Hoskins and Pastor Peters. We'll be back right after this. And after this song, we'll have the phone lines open, 307-745-5913.
Was talking some time back at the Radio Ranch campfire microphone to an old friend, a true southern gentleman and historian, Richard Hoskins. He was a-talking of a time many years ago when his regiment was bivouacked on an old Civil War battlefield.
You couldn't sleep in it because it was wet, and we were wet, and we were cold, and there was a breeze blowing. So the band got right close to where the tents were and everything. All of a sudden, they broke out, bum 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 bum. And the men broke out cheering. I've never heard the rebel yell. If you're not a rebel, you haven't heard a rebel yell. And if you haven't been in the army, you haven't heard it. But I've heard it in our regiments long 50, 60 years ago. But the rebel yell, oh man, it sings mile after mile over the hills. And the rebel yells were everywhere. And everybody was jumping up and down, and nobody was cold. Everybody's heart was in their mouth, and I'll declare, I think they'd gone to hell if we'd given the orders to go to do it. There's nothing like music, and there's nothing like Dixie.
That southern ballad was not sung in vain then, nor is it now, as Christian soldiers sing the Dixie melody to the King.
I wish that we had not forgotten the Son of God, His only begotten. Look away, look away from your sin. Look away. I was born again through the blood of Jesus, baptized and redeemed from sin. Look away, look away from your sin, America. I pray for America. Repent, repent, America. Chosen land, blessed by God's mighty hand. Look away, look away, America, from sin. Look away, look away, America, from sin.
Stand to live or die by His command. Look away, look away from your sin. Look away. In Jesus' name we will prevail. All enemies sent straight to hell. Look away, look away from your sin, America. I pray for America. Repent, repent, America, His chosen land, blessed by God's mighty hand. This land is ours in Jesus' name. Look away from your sin, America. I pray for America. Repent, repent, America, His chosen land, blessed by God's mighty hand. Look away, America, from sin. Sons and those of perdition, look away from your sin, look away. All of
Christ, we're strong and bold. Look away from your sin, America. I pray for America, repent, repent. America, His chosen land, blessed by God's mighty hand.
I declare, I think they're going to hell if we're given the orders to go and to do it. There's nothing like music, and there's nothing like action.
Amen. Amen. Hope you like that. Again, that's a song called Look Away. So, of course, a little rewrite down the Dixie there with an intro by our pastor and Mr. Hoskins, and be glad to send it to you if you'd like. CD, Look Away, just one song, about 6 minutes. If you'd like it, had Brother Larry call in, and yeah, he knows where the Scripture tells us that God says His Word is jealous. And so think about that. God, a jealous God, jealous for His people. You know, I'm jealous for my wife. I love her. I don't want her to go to anybody else but me. I want her to depend on me. I want her to look to me for her safety, for her, I want her desire to be for me. You know, that's how God is with us. He is jealous for us. He wants our desire to be for Him. Romans 5:1. We talk about that covenant of peace. Let's go to Romans 5:1. We've got time to go through this. Therefore, having been justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom also we have obtained our introduction by faith into this grace in which we stand, and we exalt in hope of the glory of God. And so, see, we have that peace. We still have that covenant of peace. How? Well, being justified by faith through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom also we have obtained our introduction by faith into this grace in which we stand, and we exalt in hope of the glory of God. You know, we rejoice is what that exalt means. We rejoice in hope of the glory of God. We rejoice in His blessings that He's blessed us with. But you know, when we read on, we read on in here, because it talks a little bit more about that. It's not just because we've claimed it. It's not just because we believe in Jesus Christ. Verse 3 says, and not only this, but we also exalt in our tribulations. Do we? It says here that we should, but do we? Do we exalt in our tribulations? We will if we read on and believe and apply this. Because it says here, not only this, but we also exalt in our tribulations, knowing that tribulation brings about perseverance, and perseverance proven character, and proven character hope. And hope does not disappoint, because the love of God has been poured out within our hearts through the Holy Spirit who was given to us. That's that covenant of peace. That's what it is. Let's flip over to Philippians. I want to read a little bit over here while I have a minute. I didn't have these all printed out, so we're going through the Bible here. Philippians 4. Let's take a look at this. Philippians 4. See if I can find this. Here we go. Philippians 4. We'll start with verse 4. Philippians 4, starting in verse 4. I'm going to read a couple verses here. Rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I will say, rejoice. You know, our pastor rejoiced. Our pastor said the last few years of his life that he realized nothing bad had ever happened to him. He rejoiced always. And he encourages us to do that. You know, we have a small booklet that he put together. We don't advertise it a lot, but it's called Rejoice Always. you'd like it, we'll send it to you free of charge. Rejoice always. If you don't rejoice always, you need that book. You need to read it. You need to obey the commandment here in Philippians 4:4. Rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I will say rejoice. Let your gentle spirit be known to all men. Well, I can tell you, I have to confess my sin here. My gentle spirit is not known by all men. I'll confess that to you. There's probably a spirit that some other men might know me by, and I wouldn't call it a gentle spirit. Lord, forgive me of that. Let my gentle spirit be known to all men. We read on here in Philippians 4, starting in verse 5 there, we read that. The Lord is near. Be anxious for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your request be made known to God. And the peace of God, which surpasses all comprehension, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. And so, you want that peace of God? You want to have that covenant of peace with Him? Well, here's some things to do. Because His covenant is there. It's everlasting. We are to rejoice in the Lord always. We are to let our gentle spirit be known to all men. You know, I think of some men out there, some of the Acres men that boy, when you talk to them, you know, you can tell we don't always, and it's not them, it's me as well. We don't always, as men, have a gentle spirit. That's the way it goes. We're men. Well, we do what we can, don't we? Rejoice in the Lord always. The Lord is near. We are to be anxious for nothing. You know what cattle prices are doing? Oh my gosh, this, be anxious for nothing. Oh, but you know what the government's doing? This election, blah, blah. Be anxious for nothing. Oh, you know, gas prices are creeping up again. They're up 10 cents in the last week. Food prices are still up. I don't know how I'm going to feed the family. Be anxious for nothing. Enjoy that covenant of peace. Be anxious for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your request be made known to God. And the peace of God, which surpasses all comprehension, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. We can have that covenant of peace. It was offered to Phinehas because he was jealous for God. He loved God. I'm going to go out with one more song. It's called Keep the Faith by the Langstons. Oh, it's several years back. I pulled it out of the archives not too long ago. I like it. Hope you like it. We'll go out with it. I'll send you this CD if you'd like. You can write to us and request it. Our address is Scriptures for America, P.O. Box 766, LaPorte, Colorado, 80535. And as we go out with this song, I want to encourage you to come back Friday night. We'll have a live broadcast for you. I hope so anyway, Friday night. And join us Saturday morning at 7 a.m. Mountain, 8 a.m. Central, and 9 a.m. on the East Coast, Eastern Time, for coffee with the Radio Ranch Wranglers. Thanks for tuning in. May God bless all of those that are His.
It's a lonely fight when you know what's right, but the world moves in the opposite direction. You struggle every day, looking for a way to make it through. When you're beaten down, falling to the ground, and you think that it's hopeless to continue, lift your weary head, look to Him instead. He knows your pain. Keep the faith all through the homeland. This guiding light. A soldier in the fight, strong and true. When you find someone who's feeling all undone, who thinks that they're barely gonna make it, lend a helping hand, help them understand how Jesus said.